So I was going to do I was going to do a New Year's message. Before I get into this, just want to remind you guys every now and then about, we try to do this every 6 to 8 weeks. We do something called Step Up to the Microphone. It's been a little while since we've done this. And Step Up to the Microphone is where one of you comes and instead of me standing up here sharing, one of you comes and shares part of your story. Maybe it's how you became a follower of Christ, or maybe it's an answer to prayer. Something significant God has done in your life. And we've had several of you who have done that. And those have been just wonderful times, and just want to let you know we'd like to get some more of you lined up for that. So if you're interested in doing that sometime, and don't shake your head no. You're shaking your head no. But we'd love to get some more of you up here sharing your stories with us from time to time. So if you'd like to do that probably sometime in February or March, please let me know, and we will get you on the roster for that. So I was planning this morning on doing a New Year's message, kind of one of those, you know, now is the time, seize the day kind of thing. Don't put things off till later. And I decided I'm going to put that message off till later. So we're going to instead, we're going to jump into the series that we've been kind of talking about jumping into. We're just going to go ahead and jump into that today. So I want to start by asking a question. And this is not a rhetorical question. This isn't one of those questions that pastors ask and then they just keep on talking. I actually want you to talk back to me and kind of give me your thoughts on this, give me your answers. Here's the question. How do you define truth? I know that's a real light, you know, topic to start the new year off with, right? But what is truth? How would you define that word? Somebody, honesty.
Transparency, candidness.
Transparency. Candidness, did you say?
Facts.
There's absolute truth and then there's not.
Okay.
Jesus is absolutely truth, but truth can be two different things to different people, you know, what their perception is.
Okay.
And they think that they're telling the truth, but they're not.
But they're not, right? How do you know what's true and what's not true? What's the filter? What's the barometer for determining this is true and this is not?
The absence of a lie.
The absence of a lie. That's good. That's an important one.
Scripture.
What else? Any other thoughts?
A pure heart.
Has anyone ever believed something and you thought it was truth and that over time you learned more and you changed your view and you were like, no, that wasn't true at all? Anybody? I think all of us have been there. Hopefully we've, you know, that's part of growing and that's part of learning. That's part of the process. So what I want us to talk about today is that everyone gets their version of truth from somewhere. Everyone has some source or sources that they look to determine what is true. And the question that we need to examine is, what is our source? Where do we look to for truth? Let me just show you some of the common sayings when it comes to truth, some things that people say, and get your feedback on this. How many have heard people say that? There are no absolutes. You heard that statement? What's your response to that? What do you think of that? There are absolutes. Any other thoughts? If somebody said that to you, what would you say?
Prove it.
Okay, that's great. How do you know? Who says there are no absolutes? What if there are absolutes? And isn't that an absolute statement? Wouldn't it also be accurate to say there are absolutely no absolutes? That in itself is an absolute statement, isn't it? So there's some problems with that statement. How about this one? This is a very popular one. Do whatever you want to as long as you don't hurt anyone. Anything is fine. Everything is okay. The only standard is as long as you don't hurt someone, it's okay. What are your thoughts on that? Okay. So sometimes we do things that are bad, but it doesn't hurt anyone, but it's still wrong. Is that what you're saying? Good. Okay. Any other thoughts? Yeah. Okay. That's a great point. Just because it doesn't hurt somebody physically, it may hurt them in other ways also, right? Missy?
Trying to tell someone not to do something without actually giving them direction.
Okay, yeah, absolutely. So you're still telling them not to do something, but not really saying not to do something, right? How about this question? Who says that that's true? Isn't that a statement of morality, right? Usually when people say things like that, When people say things like there are no absolutes or do whatever you want to as long as you don't hurt anyone, usually people that say that, they're rejecting anything black and white. They're saying everything is a gray area and everything is determined by these standards, and they're saying that there are no absolutes, but the problem is those are absolute statements. Those beliefs came from somewhere. People that say those things, they're expressing a belief in what they call truth. So the question is, what is the basis of truth? What is the basis for what we believe? So a lot of people, when they say, well, this is what I believe is truth, a lot of people turn to religion. So let's take a look at this statement. This statement. All religions really point to the same God, hashtag coexist. You've seen those bumper stickers, right? You've heard people say that. It doesn't really matter what you believe. All religions are basically talking about the same God, just calling him by different names. They all really are the same, though. What's your response to that? What do you think of that?
Incorrect.
Anybody agree with Joe? Why? Why is that incorrect?
If it's the same God, why do you have so many different beliefs towards him? Like, different religions have different beliefs and different ideas of what happened. So how are they all the same God if it happened differently in every story?
Okay, absolutely. If it's the same God, why are the beliefs so different? Right? And let me just give you a couple of examples. Let's just start with Christianity versus Islam. Christianity says Jesus is God. He died on the cross for our sins and rose again from the dead. Now, would you agree those are pretty important truths, right? Those are pretty, like, those aren't just, you know, fringe, well, you can believe it or not believe it. Those are central. Those are core beliefs if you're a follower of Christ. So as Christians, we say Jesus is God. He's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. He wasn't just a good teacher. He is God in the flesh who came to this earth. That's an important belief. Jesus died on the cross. He came to die on the cross for our sins. He took upon himself our punishment so we wouldn't have to, so that we could experience the forgiveness of God. That's an important belief. And then thirdly, that Jesus rose again from the dead. He did not stay in the tomb. He conquered death and he is alive. Those are very important truths to Christianity. Islam rejects all three of those. So what that means is both can't be right. One is true and one is false. Does this make sense? Christianity says Jesus is God. Islam says no, Jesus was just a good man. He was a prophet, but not God. One is right and one is wrong. Both cannot be true at the same time. Christianity says Jesus died on the cross for our sins. Islam says, no, he didn't. God put in a substitute in Jesus' place, and he didn't actually die on the cross. One is true, one is false. Both cannot be right at the same time. Christianity says Jesus conquered death and rose from the dead. Islam says, no, he's still dead. He wasn't God, he was just a prophet. He died in his old age. Both cannot be right. All religions are not the same. Let me give you another example. As Christians, as followers of Christ, we believe that salvation occurs how? How is a person saved? By grace through faith. In other words, it's not something that we earn. There's not a list of things we have to do to earn our way into heaven. We can't earn our way into heaven. Salvation comes through the sacrifice of Christ on the cross. And our role is simply to believe and accept. The Bible portrays salvation as a gift that God is offering you. And when somebody offers you a gift, you don't pay them for it. You don't try to earn it. You just reach out and receive it. If you pay for it, it's not a gift anymore. So the Bible teaches that salvation is received through faith in Christ. It's a free gift. Every other belief system rejects that idea. Every other belief system has a list. You've got to do this. You can't do this. That's how you earn your way into whatever their version of heaven is. And those vary hugely as well. So Christianity says Jesus is God, died on the cross for our sins, rose again from the dead. Salvation comes through faith in his sacrifice. And here's another difference between Christianity and every other religion. And this one is huge. Christianity not only says that Jesus is a way of salvation, Christianity says Jesus is the way, the only way of salvation. That's huge. In other words, biblical Christianity says that if you are a strong believer in Buddhism or Hinduism or Islam, it doesn't matter how strong your faith in those belief systems are, that's not going to get you into heaven. The only path to heaven, the only path to salvation is Jesus. That's what Christianity teaches. That's what the Bible teaches. Now, why do we say that? Do we say that because we think we're better than everyone else? Because we want to exclude people? Not at all. We don't say that because we want to exclude people. In fact, it is that belief that motivates us to have tens of thousands of missionaries all around the world. Because we believe there is no other way of salvation. And so part of our job, that's why we talk in here many times about the importance of sharing our faith. Because we believe there is no other plan of salvation. There is no other way to be forgiven of our sins and to experience new life and God's salvation that he offers. And that's why it's so important for us to share that truth with others. And why do we say that? Because that's something that somebody came up with. We say it for one simple reason. Because that's what Jesus said. So if I was to stand here and say, well, I believe Jesus is one of many ways to salvation. It doesn't really matter what you believe. As long as you believe it sincerely, somehow you'll get into heaven. If I say that, what I'm saying is that Jesus is my Savior and he is a liar. That's what I would be saying. Because Jesus himself said that he was the only way. Take a look at a couple of verses here. John 14, 6. Jesus told him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one can come to the Father except through me. So Jesus made it clear that the only way of salvation was through him, through what he did for us on the cross. Acts chapter 4, verse 12, the disciples are talking to people who are questioning them and interrogating them. And here's what they said, there is salvation in no one else. God is given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. And they're saying this is not a safe thing for them to say. They're saying this to a group of people who do not believe that at all. It's very dangerous for them to make those kind of statements. So here's the point that I'm making. Either those statements are true or they're false. Is this making sense? All of this stuff that I've just listed, that Jesus is God, that he died on the cross for our sins, he rose again from the dead, that salvation comes through faith in him, that salvation comes only through faith in him. All of those statements, either they are true or they're false. There's no maybe there. There's no gray area. Either they are statements of truth or they are lies. And the point I'm making is this. Certain things are true and certain things are false. Not all beliefs are the same. Not all beliefs are equally true. No matter how sincerely somebody believes it, sincere belief doesn't make something true. You can sincerely believe something and it be absolutely wrong. So it's not an issue of, well, this is my truth and this is your truth and we all have different truths. No, there are certain things that are true, whether we believe them or not. And there are certain things that are false, regardless of our opinion of those things. So what I want us to talk about is the Bible as our source of truth, because the Bible presents truth far differently than other belief systems. And far differently than our culture presents truth, the culture in which you and I live. And what I want to point out this morning is that we are not given the option in the scriptures, we're not given the option of accepting the Bible as one version of the truth. In other words, the Bible doesn't give us the choice of saying, well, yes, this is one view of the truth, but there are other equally valid views of the truth out there as well. The Bible doesn't give us that option. The Bible is very black and white. Either it is true or it is a lie. Either it is the truth or it is filled with falsehoods. That's what the Bible makes very clear. So let's take a look at a couple of verses that talk about that. And the question is, how does Jesus define truth? Take a look at John 17:17. This is Jesus praying to the Father the night before his crucifixion. And he says this. He's praying about his disciples and he says, make them holy by your truth. Your word is truth. So how did Jesus define truth? He defined truth as God's word. He said that is truth. Not a version of truth, not one example of truth, but it is truth. Take a look at these next couple of verses that talk about where the Bible comes from. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is inspired by God and it's useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It corrects us when we are wrong. Let's stop there. So what does that verse say about where the Bible comes from? It says it is inspired by God. Literally, those words literally mean God breathed. So it wasn't just some guy's idea. What these verses are telling us is that it is God's word to us. It is God's message to us. It was inspired by him. Take a look at this passage, 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. Above all, so that must, it must be pretty important, right? He's saying this is above all. This is really important for you to get. You must realize that no prophecy in Scripture ever came from the prophet's own understanding or from human initiative. No, those prophets were moved by the Holy Spirit and they spoke from God. Think about what that's saying to us. It's saying that, that these words that we read in the Bible, these aren't just some guys that got together and said, hey, let's create a religion of our own. Not just some guys that got together and said, hey, let's write these words down just because. What this is saying is that these people were literally moved by God, that God spoke to them, and then they spoke the words that God gave them. Or they wrote down the words that God gave them, and that's where the scriptures come from. This is telling us that the Bible is truth, and it's truth that's given to us by God himself. Take a look at this next one. Acts chapter 17, verse 11. This is talking about a group of people as the disciples are going around to different places and sharing the gospel. Look at what it says here. The people of Berea were more open-minded than those in Thessalonica, and they listened eagerly to Paul's message. They searched the scriptures day after day to see if Paul and Silas were teaching the truth. So they listened eagerly to what Paul and Silas had to say, but it didn't end there. They didn't just accept it. They said, we need to check this out against what? Against the scriptures. In other words, what this shows us is that the Bible, it's not just a religious book. It is a barometer. It is a filter. It is a measurement to determine what is true and what is false. And not only is the Bible truth, not only does the Bible tell us what was true, but it is eternal truth. Take a look at these next couple of verses here. Matthew 24, verse 35. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. Jesus is saying that the words he speaks are eternal and they are lasting. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 8. The grass withers and the flowers fade, but the word of our God stands forever. Hopefully what you're getting here is that the Bible makes some pretty strong claims for itself, right? It claims to be infallible. It claims to be truth. It claims to be God's words spoken and written down for you and for me. So here's the point I'm making. Either the Bible is truth or it is filled with some audacious claims and some horrible lies. There's no middle ground here. We cannot just accept the Bible as a collection of inspirational and comforting sayings and nothing more. We can't accept the Bible as just a bunch of interesting stories and nothing more. Jesus said it defines truth and it will never fail. And because of the claims that it makes for itself, either it is true or it is false. It's either God's truth to us or it is filled with lies. So, over the next few weeks, we're going to be talking about some topics and some issues that tend to make people very uncomfortable. We're starting this new series and it's called Stuff Nobody Wants to Say. So we're going to talk over the next few weeks about things like marriage and what is the definition of marriage, and specifically as it relates to the Supreme Court decision last summer. What about same-sex relationships? There are certain things that are true about that and there are certain things that are false. We're going to talk about abortion. There's been a lot of talk about that lately, especially with all the videos from Planned Parenthood and all the revelations that have been coming out about things that they've been doing. What is the truth about that? We're going to talk about politics. As Christians, should we be involved in politics? Should we be interested in politics? Or is that like separate from our faith? Is that a different issue that we really shouldn't concern ourselves with? We're going to talk about money. What is the truth about that? Why do we have it and how should we use it? We're probably going to talk about drinking as well, because there's a lot of differing opinions on that. Some people on one end say, you know, you should never touch the stuff. And on the other end, hey, party hard and have fun. And, you know, and there's a lot in between there. So we're going to talk about those kind of things. And here's what I want us to get today. The Bible has something to say about those issues. Those issues are not only cultural issues. They are not only political issues. They are issues of truth. There are certain things that are true of marriage and certain things that are false. There are certain things that are true of sexuality and certain things that are false. There are certain things that are true about how to live our lives and certain things that are false. These issues, they are not separate from our faith. Our faith should define how we view those issues. Because think about it. If God is the creator of life, then he determines whether or not that life is important. And ultimately, he determines when that life begins and when it should end. If God is the creator of our sexuality, then he gets to make the rules about what is acceptable and what is not. He gets to set the guidelines and the boundaries on what's okay and what's not okay, what's healthy and what's unhealthy. If God is the creator of marriage, he gets to define what marriage is and what marriage is not, regardless of anybody else's view or anybody else's opinion. None of these issues are separate from our faith. They're closely intertwined with our faith. What we tend to do, I think, a lot of times is we take issues like that and we relegate them to that's cultural stuff, that's political stuff, that's over here. And the religious stuff, the Bible stuff, that's over here. We kind of categorize things in our lives like a bookstore or a library. You know, if you're interested in this, go to this section. If you're interested in this, go to that section. And what we've done, I think, many times is instead of allowing the Bible to inform truth for us in all of these areas, we kind of put God in this little box and label it religion. And we take that box out once or twice a week, and the rest of the time we kind of ignore it. And when we do that, instead of allowing the Bible to define truth for us in all these issues, we look to a lot of other sources to determine for us what to believe and what not to believe. For example, polling. We look at things like, okay, what do most people think about this issue? I mean, if 65% of people agree with this, then, well, they must believe that for a reason. They can't all be wrong, right? And we tend to allow those things to influence our beliefs. So let me ask you, is that a valid measure of truth? Is polling and majority beliefs in something, is that a valid measure of whether we should believe something or agree with it or not? I mean, let me just give you one example. In 1996, they took the first ever nationwide poll of what is your opinion of same-sex marriage? 1996, first time that poll was taken in America. 27% of Americans said, yeah, that's okay. Overwhelming majority said, no, we're not okay with that. Less than 20 years later, in 2015, the polls had completely changed to where that 27% doubled. And now it's 55% of Americans who say, yeah, we're cool with that. Nothing wrong with that. My point is this. Opinions and cultural beliefs change and shift over time. If we base our beliefs and what we view as truth, if we base that on what the majority is saying, our beliefs are going to constantly be changing. We're going to have to constantly be looking over here and over there and asking these questions and taking these polls to determine whether we are affirming truth or not. So that's not a valid measurement of truth. Another thing people allow to influence their beliefs of truth is the media. What are the comedians laughing at this week? What groups are they making fun of this week? It's totally different than who they were making fun of a couple weeks ago or a couple months ago. That changes and it shifts. What about TV shows and movies? What lifestyles are they normalizing and telling us this is cool and this is great and this is okay? All of that changes with the times. It's not a valid measurement of truth. What about social media? You know, what are the trending hashtags and the trending stories and what are the funny memes out there and what are our friends saying and what are they liking? And we tend to look to all those things and we allow those things to influence our beliefs. And here's the thing. If we don't have a solid foundation, a solid source for how we define truth, then we will allow all of these other things to influence our beliefs and to define truth for us on some very important issues. What really matters is not what the media say or what the president says or any other politicians. That's not what matters. What really matters is not what the Supreme Court says or what the comedians are saying or what Facebook or Instagram says. That doesn't matter. What really matters is this. If we believe this, the Bible says that it is truth, and not just truth way long ago, but that truth was true, it is now true, and it will always be true. If we believe that, then we should be asking some questions like, well, how does God define truth? And what is true of these issues? What does God have to say about these issues? Because if we want to walk in truth, that truth should not just affect one or two areas of our lives. That truth should inform every area of our lives, our beliefs and our opinions and the standards by which we live. So that's what we're going to be talking about over the next several weeks. So as we delve into this, as I close this morning, I just want to give you a couple things to consider. Here's the first one. I want to encourage you, I've kind of listed off some of the things that we're going to be talking about. If there are other issues or topics that you're interested in, that you've always, I've always wondered about this. What does the Bible say about this? Or I'm confused about this. Let me know. And we can look at those things as well. Just write it down on a card or send me an email or pull me aside and just let me know. Because I want to make sure that we're addressing issues that we're wrestling with, that we're questioning or unsure about. We want to address those things because the Bible has a lot to say about a lot of different issues. So let me know about that. And here's the second thing I want you to consider. If I say something that offends you, or if I say something that you disagree with, please let me know. I've been in these settings before where, the preacher says something and somebody gets offended and they just leave and you never see them again. It's like, what happened? Where did they go? Let me know. I'd love to talk with you about it. Again, my goal is not, listen, this is not about me standing up here and telling you my opinions on things. That would be a horrible abuse of the position of pastor. My goal is for us to honestly examine the Bible and to find out what does God say about these issues, because really, that's all that matters. My opinion doesn't matter at all. What matters is what does God say about these issues? So if you hear something that upsets you, that offends you, that confuses you, please talk with me about it. Please let me know. Because my goal is for us to delve into what does the Bible say and why does God say those things about these issues. I want to say to you that it's important for us to recognize that truth, as we talk about truth, as we focus on truth, truth is never intended to be a barrier. Truth is an invitation. In other words, the truth is never intended to push people away. To say, well, if you don't agree with me, then I don't want anything to do with you. That's not what truth is all about. Truth is an invitation to come and to join in. Jesus said to us in Matthew 5, he says, let your light shine so that all men will see your good works and do what? Glorify your Father in heaven. So Jesus said that we are to be light in a dark place. So here's what that means. It means a couple of things. Being light means this. As we stand on truth, as we affirm truth, as we live and walk in truth, it means that we are noticeable. We're different. Just like light shining in a dark place is noticeable, if we stand for truth, we're noticeable because we're different. But here's the other thing it means. Jesus said that others will glorify your Father in heaven when they see your light shining. In other words, our light should never shine in such a way that it's blinding and repels people and pushes them away. That's not the goal. It should shine in such a way that it invites others to come and experience that light and that life as well. Let me give you an illustration here. This past week, we were in New York City, and as we were walking through and just seeing all the sights and everything, as it was getting dark, we walked past this one church. And in the entryway, in the lobby, the steps going up into the door, into the church, I saw this sign. Kind of blurry. It says, this is God's house. All are welcome. Nice sign. Nice sentiment. God's house. Everybody's welcome. Doesn't matter who you are. Let me zoom out a little bit here. You notice there's these bars in front of the entrance into the place that it says, all are welcome. I thought that was an interesting metaphor. Now, not to be unfair to them, it's New York City, right? And it's dark, and of course they're worried about crime. But I just thought that was an interesting metaphor because I think that's true a lot of times of a lot of churches and a lot of believers. We tend to do this thing where we say, hey, we love you and everybody's welcome, but only if you agree with me. If you disagree with me, I don't want anything to do with you. If you don't hold the same values as me, I don't want anything to do with you. I don't want us to be that church. I don't want to be that person. I want us to be people who stand firm on God's truth, that we're not willing to compromise on the truth, but at the same time that we don't do it in a way that pushes people away. We talked about this over the last couple of months, of how Jesus is truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is truth. He never compromised. But at the same time, you will notice people who were living in sinful, awful lifestyles, they didn't feel rejected by him. They felt loved and accepted by him. And they came to him, and many of them ended up embracing that truth and being transformed as a result. That is what God has called us to do, and that is who he has called us to be. So as we talk through these issues, the goal is for us to gain a clear understanding. What is the truth? What does God say about these issues? But it's also important for us to talk about, what do we do? How do we reach people who don't see things that way? How do we share God's love with people who disagree with us? And how do we do that in a way where we don't compromise the truth, but in the same way, we're not pushing people away and rejecting people? So as we go through this, I want to encourage you, dig into God's word. Ask some questions. Examine your own beliefs. And again, if you have any questions about any of this stuff, I'd be glad to do anything I can to answer those questions for you. So let's pray together and let's just ask God to guide us as we study this over the next few weeks. Father, I thank you this morning that you have given us your word. And we just affirm to you that your word is truth. It's not just a book filled with stories. It's not just a book that's filled with comforting sayings. It is the standard for how to live our lives. It's the definition of why we exist and what we are to accomplish and what we are to believe. I pray that as we take a look at these issues over the next few weeks, Father, that you would give us a deep sense of trust in what you say, and that you would help us to affirm your truth. And as we just said, help us to do it in a way that doesn't reject anyone or push them away, but in a way that invites people to embrace you and the life that you alone offer. Guide us as we go through this series, Father. And I pray that the result of our time together will be that we grow deeper in you, in our love for you, in our trust in you. And also that our passion, that our commitment to reaching those who do not know you, that will grow and increase. And that you would use us here in this community to share your love and your truth. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.